Welcome back to another episode of the Golf Industry Roundtable. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host, Rob Hoffman, and we are excited to have everybody back, sort of out of the woodwork. It looks like we're sort of coming out of the worst of this COVID thing. Golf's back on TV. Players are back on the courses, and people are still listening to the podcast. This is number five. So yeah. We had a goal. We made it to six. So it was a home run. So we're doing great, Rob. I want to sort of kick it over to you to introduce today's guest, because I'm really excited about this. It's sort of the evolving frontier of marketing and golf, and the two dynamic guests we have today are going to sort of point the way. So
I'm excited to stop talking about the coronavirus and start talking about something productive. I'm sure we'll mention it a little bit and how it's kind of playing out for you guys, but I wanted to take time to introduce everybody, well, our guests this week. We have Tisha Allen, a professional golfer, golf media personality. I'll let her describe it a little better for you, and Jess McAllister from Digital Golf Collective. So, Tisha, why don't you go ahead and start, and then Jess, take over from there. Tell us a little bit about who you are, your role in the industry, your background coming into it, and what you do now for the golf world, because they're listening right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So just like you said it, I'm former professional golfer, now golf media personality. I've been in golf my entire life, been playing since three, competing since seven. I played on the junior level, competitive level, high school level, collegiate level, then to professional level. I played professionally from 2015 to 2018, and I still carry the title of professional in case I ever do want to go back. But because of golf, I have been able to create a platform through social media, which has led to what I do now, which is essentially being a golf influencer, golf media personality. I like to say a lot better because I feel like it encompasses a lot more things to do than just living on social, because a lot of what I do is on social, but it's also in person and events and hitting shots and literally entertaining to every possible degree that you could literally think of, like you name it, I'll do it. And so that's kind of what I do now in a very broad picture.
Cool. Jess?
Nailed it. So I'm Jess. I own a digital marketing agency with my partner, Sean. We started this a couple years ago. We went public with it, I want to say the end of last year, kind of gearing up for the new season. And we are a full service digital marketing agency and talent brand management agency. So we have a 50-50 split business model where we manage talent, amazing talent like Tisha, and a few others that everyone knows of, from trick shot artists to media personalities to pro athletes, you name it, both men and women, super diverse. And then on the other side, on our brand side, we advise and create digital strategies, social strategies for brands in the space, brands looking to reach the golf industry and golf audience, most of the tournament organizations and their corporate sponsors. And kind of echoing what Tish said, you know, a lot of what we do is experiential branding, right? And so it's on the ground, but it's also on social. Obviously right now with the turn of events this year, sorry to bring up COVID, It's really pushed us as an agency, but also our clients, to get more creative in how we can support our partners. You know, although the schedules have changed, the audience is still there. People want golf. People need that touch point. They need that emotional pull, whether it's through the players, whether it's through the tournament organizations, whether it's through the corporate sponsors they're used to seeing. And the way to create that visibility is through influencers and talent like Tish, who everybody follows. Everybody's kind of waiting to see what she's doing next and see what story she has to tell. So that's kind of what we do. And what's great about having the business model that we have is we're able to leverage that crossover between our talent and bring them opportunities with our brand clients. Our brand clients, we have an arsenal and collective network of influencers and talent that reach far beyond our exclusive talent. We also have a collective of about 100 other celebrities, athletes, influencers, you name it, to really help kind of execute these campaigns and create that reach.
Cool. Well, can we talk about that a little bit? I want to talk a little bit about the influencer economy, if you will. I know that I think so. The range of the business that I'm in is more just golf courses, from all types of golf courses, from resorts. Coach Rusty's a member at one that we do a lot of the marketing for, the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando. A little bit of all of that we cover is really just on the golf course operator side. They're listening right now. Kyle, though, with the Golf Wire, is all different verticals within the industry, from apparel to equipment manufacturers to the agronomy side of things. And one thing that I've noticed a little bit, because one of the first conversations I had with you, Tisha, a few years ago was with Women with Drive, and talking about, you know, getting pros out to the courses for events at courses, whether it was a beat the pro on a par three during a scramble or whatever it might have been that you were doing. But you guys have really crossed over into making an impact within every vertical in the industry, from Cobra Puma, AT&T, events like the US Open or different things like that going on. So maybe you guys can talk a little bit to that economy and what's, you know, the impact that you're having within these verticals. So some of our listeners that have not pushed their way into an influencer economy can understand how it could benefit them.
Yeah. I mean, I can go ahead and give an overarching outline of that, and Tish, let you kind of touch on your day-to-day around that, which is a lot. And I want to say, a few years ago, it was kind of it still is the Wild West. It's going to be for a long time, I feel like, especially in the golf industry. But it is, you know, you started to see this influx and transition and different variation of branding and advertising and endorsements, right, outside of the traditional athlete or tour player. You know, you have all these girls on the rise on the Symetra Tour and all of that are just like so good at marketing themselves on social media, right? That's kind of how Tish got into this, being an athlete and, you know, at the height of social media and Instagram and all of that, being able to market yourself, right? And show your value as an athlete, as a person, and everything else you are and have to offer to the world, right? And from a branding standpoint, there's so much opportunity that I feel like is still untapped. And, you know, going to what you're saying about everything from apparel to accessories to clubs to courses to events. Something we've been able to do really well, and something that our talent does really well, you know, is representing these brands kind of full circle. You know, most of them have, you know, full apparel and shoe sponsors. They have equipment sponsors. They have phone sponsors. Like, you know, it's like, you name it, protein sponsors, whatever it is. But it's something that they're truly passionate about. And we only partner with brands that, you know, have that foresight of wanting to work with people like us and really tap into our talent's audiences, which are mainly kind of the youth, I would say, youthful, to the 20, 30, 40 market. But, you know, using Tisha as an example, having a long-standing relationship with both Cobra and Puma, so she's kind of all set from apparel and equipment, to really developing these I guess, alternative programming opportunities and branding opportunities, like with AT&T, we're now on what, year two or three, mm-hmm. with them. And she's a part of the athlete team, you know, with Jordan Spieth and the others. And it's really cool to see that and cultivate that relationship, because when they're doing their tournaments, for example, which they have two each year, their players are playing. You know, Maria Fossey is obviously not playing on these PGA Tour events, but, you know, he's playing. So why not have someone on the ground that can capture what AT&T is actually doing from the fan side, from the consumer side, right? And those are the same people that are following Tisha, you know, and they run up to her and want to take a photo, and they're wearing their Puma outfit and, you know, all of that. So there's such value in branding someone like Tish, and not from an exploitation standpoint, but more so finding brands that align with each person, each personality, each athlete, trick shot artist, whoever it may be, because it just drives that passion a little bit more when it comes to these creative activations. And people would be surprised, like, the amount of creative input that our talent have with the brands. It's very collaborative. It's not transactional. Although I think that's what scares people kind of in that influencer economy, is what's the ROI, or I paid this much, how come I'm not making money? Or what are we going to get from it? Or, you know, why would I pay you? And it's like, oh my God. So every day is like education, handholding. And what's great is we have talent with longstanding relationships with large partners in the golf space that are trusting, like MasterCard, like AT&T, like USGA, Cobra Puma. And, you know, one example of that is it took us almost 2 to 3 years to get a partnership with Farmers Insurance. You know, like they've never done influencer marketing before. They're very wary about it. They're very conservative. And a lot of these kind of financial insurance institutions, it's a big risk for them, right? Especially if they don't understand it. And so they saw what we did last year with a few different activations with their agency of record, who's one of our partners. And they gave us the green light this year. We got to create a really fun activation around Farmers Insurance in the Open, and Tisha was there and they were over the moon, you know, and like, I don't know what's going to happen next year with everything going on, but but fingers crossed we're back at tournaments, right, by the top of the year. But that's kind of how I see it. There's been a big growth moment and transition over the last 3 years from no influencer marketing in golf to this like full-fledged boom, you know. And you kind of have the OGs like this one over here who from the beginning has just set a really good example.
Yeah. So. OG at what, 25?
Hey. So.
I know.
She's a good content creator. I'll give her that.
She sure is. Yeah. It's funny too when you talk about youth and people watching. Even my daughter. So anybody that my daughter's ever met that I've done any work with their business, they're my friends. And a Shipsticks commercial will come on the golf channel here at home. And Haley, she's 8. She's playing golf now. She's hit a couple drives. She's getting the ball out to about 70 yards now off the tee, which I'm thrilled about as her dad. But she'll see Tisha and Nikki or whoever on TV. And she's like, Daddy, they're your friends. Because I don't know if you remember, but she met you at Aviara a couple years ago. So
yeah,
she gets excited about it, which I think is great to exercise that influence in the game too, because any brands, obviously, I mean, it's just marketing 101. Any brands that they're following, that influence carries over to purchase decisions for these kids as they're coming up too. So, and right. Build some brand loyalty for sure.
They're running to their parents and saying, you know, look, right. I need this new Puma shirt or hat right. or you know,
buy this,
whatever yeah. it may be, because they want right. to be just like them. And we do a lot of really fun kind of clinic stuff on the ground at tournaments too, where she, you know, her and some other clients of ours get to interact with a lot of the kids that come on site. And you'd be surprised, you know, the amount of kids that recognize these guys and girls we work with and just get so excited. So adults too, but.
Yeah. I mean, I think just going off that point, like to everything Jess said, she basically said it all perfectly from a business standpoint. But I think, and I say this so much to through other podcasts or other interviews, that being an influencer or being known through your social media is very different in a sense where people follow you. Like for instance, for myself, people follow me because they truly believe that I am their friend. You know, they feel like they relate to me. They feel like they know me. When I get so many messages probably every week about the Shipsticks commercial saying like, oh my gosh, I totally know that girl. Like, I know this girl. Oh my God, it's because I follow her. You know, it's just, it's so different because between like an athlete or celebrity, there is a gap between actually reaching them, right? And with influencers, we are extremely relatable. I feel like real influencers, really good influencers do that very well. And they know how to relate to their audience. And so we kind of bridge that gap between that extreme celebrity, like A-lister, I suppose, and fans to just engage. And like when we're branded, I think that's important because not everyone's going to be, for instance, in golf, a professional golfer, but it's very possible for people to be more like me, like just want to be good at golf. They just want to be able to go hang out at tournaments. They want to be able to rock these brands. And I'm kind of like the proof for them to show like, yes, you don't need to be that tour player to do this. You can just be extremely relatable and build a following and build an audience and be relatable just through that. And so, like I said,
yeah,
have a personality.
So that kind of brings a point, and I imagine it, I don't know if it's a fine line you have to toe at all in this, or if you just slam right across the line and forget about it. But I think one of the reasons that you're as relatable as you are, and a lot of other social influencers as well in this regard, is how much of your personal life you share in this, that people are able to get to know you. And I think that that's part of what helps you kind of build on this brand and build the level of influence you have. But is it difficult? I mean, in building this, you know, how much do you, you know, let people in or not, mm-hmm. as you're doing this, and where does it play in with brand marketing too?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think one of the things that many influencers do is they give a deeper insight into their life, which is why they become so relatable, because you see these different aspects. And I think for me personally, my personality alone is very open. I really don't have much to hide. I'm not a person that's good at hiding things to begin with. And so when I show, let's say, my siblings and my family, or I show, you know, my loved ones or whatever else, I think that that's another aspect of my life that becomes more relatable beyond golf. And that's what I want to be. And I think that's what, and I feel like that's why I'm also able to bring in people who aren't necessarily golfers and they want to try golf, because I bring in a different relatable aspect. And yes, it does, like, to be very honest, yeah, it can be a lot. I don't think that this kind of life is for everyone. For someone who wants to be very private, this is probably, you know, not it for you. But
I was going to say, like, you do such a good job. Well, the whole point of all this is, like, you humanize yourself. Right? So, like, you're humanizing the brands that you work with. So someone might not have known all the things AT&T are doing if they weren't following you. Like, you're that bridge, right? And so, and right. Another thing to touch on the personal stuff, I think anyone in the spotlight, it's hard. And being Pride Month, Tisha had a really big moment a year ago, and we were able to celebrate that moment of her coming out in partnership with Scratch TV, which is a creative entity of the PGA Tour, and help celebrate this moment during Pride last year, right? And even going to Pride in LA, and, like, I think we filmed it. Where did we film it? At AT&T Byron Nelson, actually, didn't we?
In Dallas?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, and talk about getting personal. It's like thought process of getting to that point of, okay, are you ready to do this? Are you sure you want to do this? And we were on the plane to the Bahamas for the showdown when it went live. So we couldn't even see.
Respond to anything when it was going on. Cause I remember I shot you a text right after it. I'm like, hey, this is really great. You know, I'm proud of you for sharing this at the moment. But, which I'm sure you got a million of the same kind of text. And I think it's been really well received.
It's overall. So positive.
Yeah. It has been scary, but well worth it. I mean, looking back at it now a year, it's like everything that I questioned myself before, thinking like, is this even possible? Can I even do this? Is this even something I need to do? And now being a year past that, it's like, wow, I can't even imagine my life if I never did that. I can't imagine. Yeah, the weight lifted off my shoulders. And again, you know, giving this much personal, you know, detail about my life, it's not for everyone, but I very much am willing and I want to take on that role of being responsible for other people who feel like they're in the situation, whatever it is. It could just be a female golfer. It could be a golfer that wants to come out. It could be an athlete that wants to come out. It could be just someone who wants to get into a female that wants to get into the golf world, whatever it is, I am willing to be that person to take all the hits moving forward and create that change and start first.
I think, you know, being a leader in that space, and to your point, is like being that pillar of fighting fear, right? Whether whether it's a young kid, because again, she has a lot of young people following her that maybe were in the same boat, and she's unlocked this whole other community, right, that don't feel afraid anymore because she's sharing her story. And it's also unlocked a lot of amazing opportunities within golf, which is super cool. But, like, I think as a personality in such a interesting sport and industry that's not like any other, to be able to have that powerful voice, be a leader and showing an example, positive example of what can be done, how it can be done, and her why, I think is just ultimately so powerful. So
No. Oh, the Orlando corner is quiet.
I've just been taking it all in. This
deep conversation.
From the Golf Wire, this is kind of a growing subject area of interest for many of our clients, and how to leverage social and ways to actively get involved. So I've got a question maybe for both of you, and it's basically how to get started. So maybe I'll start with Tisha and then come to Jessica. But Tisha, how would somebody who wants to be a social media influencer get started? I mean, if coming out of college, I don't know if you have to have a bunch of street cred or if you can just work your way up to some threshold of a million followers to where you can call yourself an influencer. But I'm just curious, what would you say to somebody young, not even necessarily young, because social influencing covers all gamuts, right? But somebody who just wants to make a transition into this space.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I get this question quite often, especially from literally that demographic of, young females or just young people coming out of college. And I wish I could give you one formula to get there. But in actuality, like, I came at the right time and I made use of the opportunity that was presented to me. Does that mean that not everyone can get into it? No, everyone can get into it. It does take a lot of dedication and work, just like anything else you do. And it takes a lot of time before you see any return. So I think right now, let's say if someone were to ask me right now if they wanted to get into social media, I would tell them to really look at the numbers and really evaluate which platform they think that they can relate to best, and then go from there. So I've been advising a lot of young people to hop on what's called TikTok. It's another social platform. It's really for the 25 age and under. And I'm now exceeding that threshold, trying to live on it. It's quite difficult. Let me tell you, it's something different. But the thing is that you want to hop in the right wave of whichever social media platform is happening and go from there. Because if you go on the happening platform, then you'll have the most potential to grow, and you can use that platform as leverage to the rest. And now within that, now you got to figure out what's your niche, what's going to make you different, what is it that you're super passionate about. And it has to be something that you are extremely passionate about, because if you are not, you will burn out and you will just, create videos maybe for a month and then you're like, there's no return. Yeah, of course, guess what? I didn't see my first deal until a year and a half into it. And that was something that I was just doing for fun. It was, I want my golf swing, I want my professional golf career to be seen. So I just kept putting myself out there. And then I got my first just gig. Just, hey, do you want to do this for X amount? We'd love for you to show up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, that would be amazing. I am so forever grateful. Like, I came at it at a very passionate, like, for fun kind of level. And for people who want to go into this as like a career, it's very, very important that you love what you do, because you have to go at this for quite a while, like I said, before you're going to see a return.
And put in the work.
Put in the work. And it's not just about pretty pictures. I'm sorry. Like, you're going to have to do a lot more than that. Yeah. But being unique is a big part of it.
And do you feel like you have to be everywhere on all of the different platforms, or do you focus on one or two and then just put a sprinkle on the others? Because like you said, there seems to be a new platform, every month or certainly every year.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think there's always going to be one spearheading platform that you're going to live on and perform the best on, and you want to use that as leverage for everywhere else. But essentially, you do want to sprinkle around everywhere, because you just don't know what's going to hit next, and you don't want to start from scratch there. So for example, between Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram, I make sure that I know. You think this is not a job. This is a job, full-time, okay?
Well, and you need to be able to survive, because not one platform is going to carry you forever. Like, being platform agnostic is so important, because if one goes down one day, like, we've experienced it when certain platforms freeze or have a cyber attack or something, like, where are you going to live? You need to make sure that all platforms are different though, right? They're not all equal. So the type of content that you're putting on TikTok is not what you're putting on Instagram. It could be a variation of it, but it's not the same. Same with YouTube and all of that. Mm-hmm. And, Tisha is literally on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and she's blown up on TikTok in a matter of months and has more following on TikTok now than on Instagram, that you can imagine.
Oh, wow.
It's been
Crazy.
Yeah, I've noticed that actually a little bit with I mentioned the 8-year-old and monitoring what she looks at, obviously. But the numbers of followers on TikTok are outrageous compared to Instagram. Yeah. I mean, it's 10x a lot of times from some things I've seen.
Absolutely.
So Jess, let me switch the how-to over to you. We work with a lot of brands and new companies at the PGA show. They have a whole new product expo.
Right.
And so we work with them in getting some press releases and some information out each year about their new product. And they're always, I'm noticing more and more, they're like, what can you tell us about social media influencing? Do you know anybody? How can we get into it? What would you say to a, not the Cobra Pumas of the world, but a young brand, maybe with a negative marketing budget,
that
wants to try and leverage this space with limited resources? Is that possible? What would you say to them?
Yes, it is possible. But, you know, there's a lot that goes into it, right? And again, I want to circle back to things not being transactional, although at the end of the day, is it a business transaction? Yes. Do people need to be compensated for their time and audience? Yes, because essentially the brand is using this person to tap into a consumer audience, right? To make sales. So why wouldn't they be compensated in some form, right? Sometimes of course, yeah. It's trade product. Sometimes it's like lifetime membership, but I don't know, anything, right? So it really depends on the product and the brand, but I would say you as a brand owner or marketer need to make friends, like reach out to these influencers, introduce yourself, engage with their platforms and talk to them. They're real people, right? They're not gonna be like, pay me. I mean, sometimes, but so I feel like a lot of times these brands launch, they have their website, they invest in the PGA show, right? Or sponsoring a party during PGA show or whatever it may be, but then lack that humanizing touch point and communication. And so I feel like, you know, if there's a certain influencer you're trying to get in front of, you know, there's people like me who manage a lot of these talent, and I'm always open to sharing information. I mean, a lot of times I ask if the talent's interested first, and if they're interested, like, here you go, here's an introduction, get creative, right? How can we collaborate short-term or long-term? What are you looking to do, right? And a lot of times what brands don't understand when they go to market is they don't know what they're looking for, right? Because there's a difference between brand awareness and sales. So when you're just launching and people want sales immediately, I tell them no, that's the wrong direction to go down. And I think, you know, an awareness campaign will get you a lot further, and the sales will come. They will generate once you get in front of people, right? And it's psychology, it's brand recognition. You get in front of someone enough times, now you build trust. How do you do that? You leverage people like Tisha, who people trust, right? In some sort of agreement, whether that's a couple story posts or it's her talking about her experience with the product, or maybe it's like a monthly giveaway or something like that, where she's now directly, tangibly engaging her audience in some way. So, you know, I think it's definitely possible. And, you know, I've seen it plenty of times where we get approached by brands all day, every day, in the golf space, not in the golf space, and small, large, you name it. And people are fearful, right? They're fearful of spending the money. Right. And again, it is an investment, just as you would invest in a full page ad at the end of a magazine that someone's probably not going to see or pay attention to. Why wouldn't you use that ad spend and spread it out across a couple social media influencers, and you're getting more unique, you know, reach and visits and clicks than you would through something else.
To your point with creativity too, one thing that we have noticed is through some of the marketing we've done, we do a lot for Marriott Golf Academy and Marriott Golf, and thus some Marriott International Resorts through this. And we have worked in particular LPGA Q School Time, since it's hosted here in the desert, at one of the Marriott properties at Shadow Ridge, which is also host to Marriott Golf Academy. We've worked with Haley Ostrom and Savannah Villabe and some of them coming in where it's, we've sponsored their stay for just some of the brand awareness or a little bit of coaching through Marriott Golf Academy. So some of those things too, when you're talking about getting creative, it doesn't always have to be a big outlay of cash. Sometimes if you're with a brand ambassador that could make just as good a use of your product through, you know, if you are a hospitality company through lodging at Symmetra tour stops or different things like that could be of super importance in building your career also. So,
yeah. And you mentioned, you know, you work with the Ritz-Carlton property in Orlando where one of our other clients, Coach Rusty, is a member, but they're not paying him, you know, but does he have a free membership to the Ritz-Carlton? And I know and he plays there every day. It's place for him to record all of his content. So he needs a place to record content and the property needs promotion and coverage. So now you have this organic play and he's there quite literally every day if he's in town. He's bringing his son there, he's bringing his buddies there, and you know,
I think his fishing rod lately too. I saw
fishing a lot. And with Tita, we have a similar setup with Aviara in San Diego. Unfortunately, they're closed right now due to the current climate, but same kind of setup where it's like, okay, we're gonna comp you X amount of dinners and whatever at the fancy restaurant, a spa day, all these things, plus endless amounts of golf, right? As long as you talk about it, post about it, tag it, right? Because imagine for a normal person how much that actually costs, right? But now from a visibility standpoint, they're getting that exposure to her audience, right? Now people are like, I want to go to Aviara, or I'd like to play, you know, and now she can give them a discount code or whatever it may be. So it's almost, I mean, I'm a PR background. So for me, it's like a form of PR, form of advertising, PR, social media, all kind of mixed into one. Cause it's at the end of the day, it's still storytelling. You know what I mean? And it depends on who you're telling it through, right? And it depends on the message you're trying to drive home for a brand or a product or a company. And I think that, you know, going back to your question, yes, it's certainly possible, but I also challenge a lot of these brands to really think about what they're willing to invest, you know, from product, monetary, creative output, right? And working with us and coming up with that collaboration. And we're really big on making sure it's a collaboration and a partnership and not a one-way street. You know, and some people aren't satisfied with Instagram or influencer marketing. Like we've experienced that. I don't understand it when we see the sales going up and we see the brand visibility, but some people just aren't comfortable with it and will pull back, and that's okay. And maybe they'll come back later. Maybe they won't, but you know, they got a really good experience and we were able to get the brand in front of a specific audience. But yeah, it's definitely possible. And, you know, I'm more than willing to talk to anybody and help answer questions. Like I said, I feel like a broken record sometimes educating people on a daily basis, but again, it is still fairly new and it's also very much new in the golf space.
Yeah. So. And with it being new, I think we were offline or at the top of the hour, you said it's sort of like the Wild West sometimes. Mm-hmm. Has there been any coalescing around best practices about saying paid for posting or disclosing affiliate links, or how is that coming together? God forbid regulation, but there must be some.
Well, by law, the FTC. Yeah. So FTC law is you must disclose monetary transactions online. So a lot of times, you know, you'll either see hashtag sponsored, hashtag ad, hashtag partner. Usually it's like the brand partner. Typically if you're kind of more in depth with the partnership, you have a closer relationship there, you know, you're getting white labeled through the brand and you're working through their socials. And you'll see that kind of in paid partnership tool at the top of Instagram and some other platforms as well. And legally it does have to be disclosed. So people that are not can get in trouble. I think it'll be a minute before the FTC puts a hammer down on the golf industry, because we're still a little behind. But you know, celebrities and influencers and athletes get in trouble every day for not disclosing that. And it is a big no-no and it is a big fine. And I am very strict about that. You can ask Tisha.
I mean, it seems to me like, I mean, we were talking about somebody coming up new, like I want to be a social media influencer. I want to, you know, I want to be the next Tisha Allen. Without somebody like you, and I'm not saying you couldn't do it, Tisha, but without somebody like you helping manage some of this, Jess, I can imagine it would get pretty messy for somebody trying to break into this, the potential for problems they would create.
Well, absolutely.
The voice of experience.
I also feel like, you know, the younger kids, they kind of understand how this all works, right? Because they're not following a traditional music artist or athlete. They're following influencers. They're following YouTubers. Right. They're following TikTokers. So they understand what's going on. But for those that are trying to get into it, typically with a responsible brand or company, larger company, corporate, whatever it is, they know what has to be done. Yeah. And usually they'll produce guidelines and what, you know, do's and don'ts, what to include, how to speak to the brand. And, you know, there's usually a contractual agreement, what you're signing off on. But, you know, there's been times where brands, you know, will do stuff on trade. You still have to disclose it as like a gift or speaking to it, saying they let me or they gave me or whatever, making sure that that's still stated, because it's still technically a transaction. You know, and then if it's paid, yeah, you got to disclose that. But when you're newer, they'll tell you, you know, they'll let you know, like, can you please put ad or sponsored? And the problem with putting those things on your post these days is, unfortunately, you know, Instagram isn't making money from these ads, hashtag ads or sponsored. So the algorithm kind of gets in the way. And I think that detours a lot of people from adding that, or, oh, I don't think anyone will find out or things like that. But it's really imperative that you follow the rules. I'll just tell you that I've been doing this for years. And you know, I also am against people having management until they really need it, because if you can't tell me who you are and where you want to go, then how am I supposed to help you?
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I help you get to your endpoint. I help you create new opportunities. I help guide you along the way. I can create you, but I fear that that won't end well, because you should be able, you should want to do something for yourself. You should know who you are. You should have goals ultimately, you know. And we get approached by a ton of micro influencers in the golf space and not in the golf space for representation. And so we kind of add them to our collective to field opportunities for them. But you know, unless your inbox is blowing up or your DMs are blowing up and you can't manage that and you don't know how to negotiate, That's when I think it's time to bring someone in. But until you get to that point, you should be able to manage those things on your own. And if you need help negotiating, you know what I mean? Like, Tisha has some smaller influencers that come to her and ask her for help, and it's a nice down effect.
Absolutely. And I mean, like, before Jess, I was under a different management, but that was more for being an athlete. Like, there wasn't many deals outside of, you know, playing professionally. But I think, like, as to the point that Jess was saying, that a lot of it is to the responsibility of the influencer themselves. And you know, for a while, there were people and other managements approaching me even while I was under a management, and I didn't even feel like I was deserving of it, because I didn't feel like I had enough, you know, DMs and emails and all this coming in. Like, I didn't even feel like I was worthy enough. And so I feel like this is so important for any influencer who wants to be an influencer. It's never about, hey, how did you get Cobra Puma? How did you get AT&T? It's not that. It's not how did I get there. It's how do you show value to those brands? What am I bringing to these brands that they don't already have? So don't tell me, like, how did you get Cobra Puma? It's like, no, I had to try and prove myself to these brands. That's why I believe I'm different. You may have 100,000 more followers than me, but what is different about you? What is it that I have that you don't have, or vice versa? And so that question I will constantly ask people, and usually that same question back is what deters them, because it's not about how you get it. It's how are you able to prove your worth to them?
Put in the work. And I always encourage these smaller influencers that are trying to grow or trying to get brand deals, Maybe they saw a couple brands launch at PGA show and they're like, man, I DM them. They haven't gotten back to me. Post about them, buy something from the brand, show that you truly are a fan of the product or company or property, whatever it may be, and talk about it, tag them, you know, mention them, share what they're up to. Cause they're going to see that. Right. And then they're going to be like, wow, that's a really good representation. Like maybe we can do more together. And so I always encourage, you know, even all of our team, you know, if there's a brand that you like, I'll get you product if you want, but go out there, talk about it, tag them. Not everything is going to be a monetary exchange. You know, you gotta, and it comes down to authenticity, right? Like you have to authentically, truly want to engage with the brand or the product. And that also comes from the brand side too. Like you have to want to authentically partner with someone like Tisha because you believe that she's a true representation of the message that you're trying to get out there or the product or whatever it may be. So.
Can we shift gears and briefly talk about golf for a moment? It's been a big initiative. It's been a big initiative across the golf industry for a lot of years. We've all heard, you know, the growth of the game, how, you know, if you're a PGA professional, how are you growing the game? If you're involved from a management level in the industry, how are you growing the game? And I think one of the fastest or quickest growing segments of the game has been women in the game over the years, over the last decade, especially. What role has social influencing? What, you know, what are you guys doing in particular, if you have any specifics with growth of the game in mind, or what have you seen just as a result of some of the things you're doing to help grow the game? And then maybe that also translates to some of these brands we're talking about as well, because it's growth into their verticals within the industry as well.
Mm-hmm. I'll let Tisha speak to that and I'll go after you.
Yeah, I mean, the answer to me is not a long one at all. I think the most important thing is that us influencers is that we're making the game look fun. We're showing the side of golf that isn't seen on TV, because what's seen on TV is basically professional golf, which professional golf is amazing, but again, not everyone is going to make it to that level. And I think it's already been known for quite some time that it's always been a gentleman's game, and it's a very common sport for the boys to go out and go vacation and do their thing and whatnot. And for women who maybe want to get into it and maybe question getting into it, there wasn't really an example to that. There wasn't really, oh, hey, let's go on a girls' golf trip. Like, that wasn't a thing. And I think social media has really helped bridge that gap to show that there is a young female golf audience that love to go golf, that love to do it for fun, that maybe need other friends and want to meet other people and become more inviting. And I think that, you know, this whole social media female golf space has really become a community. And it's so easy. Like, I may not have met every single influencer that's a female golfer I've met most, but even if I were to just follow one and then I were to see them for the first time in person, we would pick up as if I knew everything. And that was the beauty of social media, because I was like, oh my gosh, you're another female golfer. You're from Hawaii. I'm going to Hawaii. Can we go play? Like, that's so cool, because there wasn't that before for female golfers, you know? And so, like I said, we're basically bridging that gap and showing, you know, golfers who want to be casual golfers, especially, that you can absolutely go and have fun with other girls, and that there are girls that already do that.
Right. And I feel like social media, as daunting as it is, has really created this safe space of community, right? To showcase that it is okay to go to the driving range by yourself. It's okay to ask for help. And you know, something that these girls have done so well. And that's, you know, how I got started in the golf space was strictly through how to empower more women in golf. You know, 4 years ago, the percentage of female golfers was so low. By the end of last year, according to the National Golf Foundation, is, you know, women are leading by a very large percentage and the fastest growing segment in the game, right? And with that, you know, when the girls started, Women with Drive and all that years ago, they really created this online community of women across the country, even across the world, this like safe haven to answer questions, to provide help and how-tos and meetups across different cities. So these girls did feel okay, you know, going to the golf course or asking their dad to take them to whatever, or join the team, their high school team or whatever it may be, you know. And since then, you know, these girls are still leaders in this space. These girls ask questions every day. They've really created this forum, platform, community that I think has driven a lot of this female growth in the game, you know, from the influencer side and then from the player side. I want to say, I want to say the last like 3 years, you saw this new wave of young people on tour, right? Both on LPGA and PGA Tour of like young athletic guys and girls that are all friends and hanging out. And it's like, oh, wow, like I want that, right? And living this fun life and hanging out in Orlando together or whatever. And so it's, I think that seeing that and then seeing what Tisha and these girls are doing and, you know, these girls take time out of their day to answer questions and take calls and do Skypes and all this with these young girls. And we do clinics, like I said, at various tournaments. And we've partnered with a lot of brands that want to give back to the community. You know, so it's, there's definitely a fast, steady growth happening with women in the space. And I don't think it's stopping anytime soon. To something Tisha said is, you know, it's a male dominated sport, has been, still is. But, you know, guys would go on weekend golf trips and now you have groups of girls going to Mexico and like, you know, going on fun trips. You see, like they've done plenty of those group trips. We had a bunch planned for this year, but here we are. And these brands want to get on board, right? Because they want to be aligned with that. They want to be aligned with that audience. And, you know, it's just, it's a lot of fun to see more girls coming out. And I think I mentioned this before we started recording, like I went to the driving range the other day and I was so pissed because there was no spots open, but I was just in awe because half the people there were girls. And it was like, I'd never seen that before. And I was impressed. I was happy and sad at the same time. And I felt like, okay, I'm doing my job a little bit, you know, like it's happening. Right? You go to tournaments now, you're seeing a lot more girls hanging around. Mm-hmm. You're seeing a lot more daughters with their dads that are wanting to go, and they're all swagged out in their gear, you know, whether it's LPGA or PGA Tour events. There's more footprint at LPGA events in the last couple of years, which is really incredible to see. A lot of men, which is nice to see that balance. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we notice it every time we do something and we really take that in of like, okay, we've got to keep going. There's more to do, you know?
Very cool.
Yeah.
Kyle, did you have anything else?
I don't think so.